Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Dare to be different. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is my good friend who's back with power, Kyle Yates. Woo! Get the Ric Flair woo going. So excited. And today, it's bold prediction day. My bold prediction was that Yates would be without power through the weekend. That was already wrong. We're already batting zero here on the show, but I am so glad to see another face here besides my own on the program. I'm sure everybody else is happy too. Yates is back. Yates, welcome back to the land of the living, my friend.
There is no place like home. There is no place like home. There is no place like home. We were without power for 48 hours here in Michigan. And so to be finally back in our house, I swung through yesterday and it said it was 80 degrees in the middle floor, the lower floor, rather than, and that's not even upstairs. It was probably pushing 90s upstairs without AC. So very happy to be back in our home, sleeping in our own bed. Thank you, Jesus.
There you go. And also thank you, Jesus, for our guest today. Yesterday, we had Scott Bogman on the show, one half of the generals of the ITL army that's in this league. And today we got the other half. I don't know if he's the better half, the more handsome half. I'll let him tell you that because I'm sure he has opinions on both of those things. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Is It The Welsh. He's the one, the only Christopher Welsh. Welsh, it is good to see you as well, my friend. How are you today?
Joey P, I'm good. It's good to see Kyle for the first time and get to hang out. Better, handsome, maybe not debatable, but a lord. Remember that. I am an actual lord.
Oh, that's right. You are the lord of the ITL army.
Glencoe.
Now.
No, I'm the lord of Glencoe. Remember? Oh, we're like the little merry band of pirates in the fantasy sports world in this league is Bogman and I, and we just got a bunch of guys. When they get onto our ship, they're high ho matey, and they want to do stuff and they want to go full in. And we had somebody a couple years ago, I've told the story before, but they did one of those like little gimmicky plots of land for Bogman and I in our name. So we are so you can refer to me as a lord if you would like. I'm not saying you have to, but Joe, call me lord.
You're a man of titles and lands. That is something in all these years we've been doing shows together, and they are many years now, literally thousands of shows we've done together, you and I. I did not know that I was working with royalty. Yeah, this is new. This is good. Yates, bow down to the king. There he is. But let's get after it. They got a lot of football to break down today. It was football last night. That was very exciting. Maybe some of that football will make its way into the bowl predictions. I don't know. You'll just have to stick around to find out. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, draft season is here. It's not coming. It's not in the distant future. It's now. So go get our draft kit at fantasypros.com/draftkit. It's got all the tools you need to be successful. You know about the Draft Wizard, but also My Playbook Premium, which if you don't know what My Playbook is, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, it is the greatest thing ever. And I was exposed to it earlier this year, and I have been around the fantasy industry longer than I'd like to say. But My Playbook, all of your leagues, doesn't matter if it's Yahoo, ESPN, NFL, doesn't matter where you play. All your leagues can be in one spot. You can manage everything from My Playbook. Everything connects to everything. It is stunning. No more going back and forth between this site and that site and who's a free agent here and who's a free agent there and what's this trade offer or what should I do? No, no, no. My Playbook gets all that done for you. Plus, on top of that in the draft kit, you get the sleepers, the busts, the cheat sheets. You get community access to us too, which is what you want to do. Make sure, again, you go over to fantasypros.com/chat to get in our Discord channel. I just posted a hilarious video someone made about leading off today with Dan Harris and myself. Run to YouTube, run to my Twitter handle to watch that video. That's what it's about. It's about great fantasy, having fun. It's about family, community at Fantasy Pros, and I want to give you some discounts on stuff. So go to fantasypros.com/offers. Again, listen closely now. fantasypros.com/offers. You say, I don't want to pay for the big time package of Fantasy Pros. Things are tight. No, 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 no. Don't worry. I got you. For $10, you go to fantasypros.com/offers. You make a deposit in one of our partner sites, Underdog, FanDuel, DraftKings. Once you enter one of those contests there for 10 bucks, 6 free months of the Hall of Fame Fantasy Pros package is yours. That's a $65 value. That's unbelievable. So basically, you can get better at fantasy by getting all of our cool stuff and our better membership for playing more fantasy. I don't know what you're waiting for. Just go do it. Now let's start with the bold predictions. And you know what? Welsh, you're the perfect guy to have on here for the bold prediction show because you like to put yourself out there. You have zero fear. And now I understand why, because as royalty, really, you have zero circumstances. I feel like that is really the point. So Welsh, I want to kick things off with you. We're going to do 15 of these, 5 apiece. Bold prediction for the 2021 fantasy season. Welsh, kick us off, baby.
I've got one. I cannot not say it. It's so difficult before I do that. Your ad read was so magnificent. And I just want to point out what was so great about it is you became Vin Diesel in that. You're like, hey, what's better than fantasy? Family. Family's got you. You became the Vin Diesel of fantasy. You're like, it's all great. We got all this stuff. But guess what? Nothing's bigger than family. So I couldn't let that go. That wasn't going to get out of my system unless I said,
I feel like I've done a Fast and Furious movie every day this week. Totally. I feel like that's been my life pretty much.
It's Fantasy Pros and Furious with Vin Pisapia. You did an amazing job on that. All right. So, distracted us. I'll get to it. My first bold prediction, I'm actually going to jump in at the quarterback spot. And it's something I've struggled with finding all the stuff for the negative. Cause you know, sometimes when you're doing this, we can go through all the motions of every analytical stat and breakdown. And sometimes you have gut feelings. And I was trying to balance this sometimes between, am I lower on Justin Herbert or am I higher on Ryan Tannehill this year? And I'm higher on Ryan Tannehill. And my first bold prediction is that Ryan Tannehill finishes as a top 5 quarterback to end out this year. 14 of the 16 weeks, Tannehill had at least 2 touchdowns between the air and the ground. This is last year. Weeks 12 through 17, Tannehill scored the 3rd most points for a quarterback and averaged the 5th most points at quarterback. There was one anomaly in there. Marcus Mariota had like 1 game and he scored a whole bunch. You add Julio Jones in there, there's a no-brainer. I think Bogman and I, and actually we had cited tags on this. We did this episode that is about breaking down all of the facts in different spots. And tags had pointed out that the massive production loss in running backs that rush for 2,000 yards, and you got Derrick Henry in there. I think there's a lot more play action that's in play here. Not to use Derrick Henry as a decoy or anything like that, but you have this in play where Derrick Henry is going to establish more of the pass. It's why you bring in Julio Jones. Ryan Tannehill has been incredibly effective. He's the 10th quarterback being taken according to ADP on Fantasy Pros. Past 80 overall, I think is a massive deal. And bold prediction, top 5 quarterback finishing in 2021.
You know, I wanted to put something in there with Tannehill. I'm glad you did because I was trying to go back and forth and find something because I am enamored of this Tennessee offense. I got a lot of shares of Julio, A.J. Brown, Henry, Tannehill, all of them. And I kind of wonder, too, just looking around the league, in order to stop them, you have to have really good cornerback play, probably some really good safeties on your defense. You also have to really have excellent linebacker play. Oh, right. And somebody at the line who can maybe slow down Derrick Henry. There's not a lot of defenses that can offer a lot of that, especially in that division necessarily either.
And Tannehill's been so efficient at the end of the day. And this is a team too, that they can pound the ball for 2 quarters if they want, 3 quarters if they want. And then the 4th quarter, they can completely change the game up.
Right.
Maybe unlike many, many other teams in the NFL. And it's an obvious calculated reason. Why do you bring Julio Jones into this offense. You're going to spread the ball out more. Derrick Henry opens that up. You've got two incredible receivers that are going to be able to spread out. And, you know, the attachment to the bold prediction is I think he outscores Justin Herbert. And that's one that I think I'm lower on, especially if you check out and compare versus like Fantasy Pros. I'm lower on Justin Herbert. There's a sophomore slump-ishness that feels like it's in play. I feel like I'm a little bit lower on the Chargers this year, but it's tough because he was so magnificent last year. It was so good. When you pick apart those things, sometimes I look at maybe weapons and overall effectiveness and finding who they are in the offense, that I think it was a perfect storm of success for Herbert. But Tannehill just gets, he's an afterthought. And I think that offense is something really, really to be feared in the NFL. And Derrick Henry is a big, he's actually one of the biggest pieces why I think Ryan Tannehill will be so good, because of what they're going to be able to set up in the pass game.
They're my favorite long shot right now to make the Super Bowl from the AFC. I think they're plus 1,300 or something like that. I love
they're your new Colts. Remember when we did the Fantasy Black Book podcast? Every year ago, it was the Colts. Yeah.
A couple years ago, yeah. All right, Yates, let's get to your fifth, or I should say first, that we can do a countdown. How do you want to call this? You want to call it your first or your fifth?
Let's dip my toe in the water.
You know
here.
What?
I'm dipping my toe in the water.
You're just so happy that all of a sudden you have lights on your face again.
Yes.
That's all we're at.
Yes.
Okay.
It's go really ahead. Where Give I'm at. So
first bowl prediction.
Yeah, let's go with the wide receiver position here, and let's go Robert Woods will be a top five wide receiver this year. Wow. Robert Woods has been just one of the most underrated wide receivers in all of fantasy football going back, who knows how long, right? Even the past 3 years, he's finished with 131 targets, 139 targets, and 129 targets on the season. 86, 90, and 90 receptions. He's been racking up yardage for the past 3 years. And the issue has been that 6 receiving touchdowns in 2018, only 2 in 2019, and then only 6 last year. But that was with Jared Goff as his quarterback. Now we have Matthew Stafford in town. And Joe, you know that I've been mentioning this all offseason, saying like, I expect this offense to be insane this year, potentially top 5 scoring offense. And if we can get the wide receiver one, I know, or maybe it's a 1A to 1B with Cooper Kupp. Like, I think they're 1A to 1B with Cooper Kupp. Like, I think they're going to be pretty even. But even at model of health, we can't count on him. Tutu Atwell is not going to be a guy who soaks up targets. Van Jefferson probably isn't going to have a huge role in this offense. So where do the targets go? We know that Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are going to get their volume. And so if that's the case, then I want that guy who could see the 90 receptions, 1,200 yards, but we could see the touchdown totals jump up to, what if it jumps up to 10, guys? What if we see that actually happen here, where Robert Woods finishes the year with 10 receiving touchdowns because of how good Matthew Stafford is? If that's the case, then he is a absolute value at his ADP right now, and I think that he has a chance to push into the top five this year.
You've done a tremendous job. I want to commend Yates doing a tremendous job of bringing the Robert Woods value to light here, because everyone's talking about McLaurin. A lot of people are talking about some other wide receivers. CeeDee Lamb, we give a ton of love. But Yates has been really consistent on Woods, and he is crushing it, showing you like the target volume's there. Everything's there. So the quarterback play hasn't been good enough to get him over that hump when it comes to touchdowns and some other numbers. Stafford is an immediate improvement. So in that universe where Woods is a top five, I'm assuming the other guys are Adams, Hill, Diggs. Who's the other guy in that top five?
I think, who did you say? Adams.
Adams, Diggs, Hill.
Hopkins can probably be pushed.
Hopkins, okay.
Hopkins is probably that other guy there in that top five. And again, this is with the bold predictions. It's not necessarily something like with my projections process, with the process that we all have, we can go through, we can look at it logically. And then with bold predictions, we want to take that result and we want to stretch it just a little bit. So am I projecting Robert Woods to be a top five receiver? No, I can't build that in, because that's looking at the max outcome with Matthew Stafford, but there is a path for it to happen. So that's why I take it and just stretch it a little bit here for the bold predictions. That's why Robert Woods, top five wide receiver.
That's a really good one too. I just wanted to point out what you just said is super important, because I think people go one for one when a lot of people out there want to like analyze everything that fantasy analysts do. And they'll be like, well, you just said this guy is five, so why isn't he number five? And it's like, well, no, it doesn't work like that. You're saying right. This is the upside of the play.
Right.
Also, what's great about it and what is such a great signal for this is he's like number 14 on Fantasy Pros as far as ADP. Right. It's showing where he's going across all the sites. That's a massive deal. So it's not a one for one. And people should know that when they listen to any bold prediction whatsoever, whether a guy's number one, whether he's going to fall out of the startable guys, that it's not about them being that exact position. It's saying the upside. So I just wanted to completely agree with what you said, Kyle, because that is important for people to understand when they're consuming this stuff.
Absolutely. And what I love about Woods too, Yates, is that if you do hit running back early and often, which we like to, that's the kind of wide receiver you're looking at in the third round, potentially, who could really be a steal and a true number one.
I am perfectly fine going into this year with Robert Woods as my wide receiver one. If that means that I loaded up on running back early and I have Woods as my wide receiver one, sign me up.
All right, let's talk about another wide receiver. My first bold prediction. Here we go. This is the first year that Mike Evans does not reach 1,000 yards receiving. He just barely got it last year. And what's holding me back from this bold prediction is the extra game. But I also know I've seen Mike Evans have those hamstring injuries crop up more than once in the last couple years. It's something as he's getting older. He's been incredibly productive. Since 2014, he has been in the league and put up 1,000-yard receiving. I mean, you look at it, it is stunning how consistent this guy is. Now, sometimes it's a little volatile. Sometimes the game log can have these massive games and a little quiet. But again, that's the nature sometimes of the position and how good he is. But I'm looking at Godwin. I'm looking at Antonio Brown. I'm looking at not one, but two potential running backs. Of course, Gronk is still around too. There's so many options, and Tom Brady doesn't have to force anything. Tom Brady can basically just sit around, pick everything apart, and Tampa can still be outstanding. He might come close to that number, but I think this is the first time we actually see this guy who has been so consistent finally dip below 1,000. Welsh, yeah, got any thoughts about that potentially with Mike Evans, you know, maybe not reaching that level for the first time in his career this year?
Is the bold prediction just about the yards? Because my big point would also be he can still be massively valuable.
Oh, sure. Like if he gets 900 yards and 8 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns, yeah, well, that's a great season.
I think he could be a 12 touchdown. I mean, like, I think Brady really likes Mike Evans. And Mike Evans is the exact, like, it actually harkens back to me thinking of, like, remember the connection, like, Randy Moss and, mm-hmm. and Tom Brady had? And you could actually maybe make the argument, like, with Antonio Brown. But, like, I think there's a big connection there. He was the most targeted receiver, but to be fair, Godwin missed 4 games.
Right.
That I think Godwin... I think Evans, as far as like what you're saying, 1,000 yards, yeah, maybe. I think the 17 game, like you were alluding to, makes it really tough. But I think Evans is going to be still a stud in fantasy this year because I think he's going to be a touchdown hog. I think it's going to be double-digit touchdowns. But it is tough. It's like how many balls can go around? It's all Brady, though, but how many can truly?
It is Brady. That's what we always have to remember. I mean, honestly, I don't want to know if I want to go this far, but... it's possible you don't get a 1,000-yard wide receiver from that group because he gets spread the ball around so much, which would be very weird. You got to have a bunch of guys between, you know, 8 and 1,000, but somewhere in that hovering range just because maybe you don't have to, but I don't want to go quite that bold, but I'm just going to go with Mike Evans here.
Would it be crazy if you didn't have a single 1,000-yard receiver, yet every single receiver was a startable in fantasy? They were all
and Brady
wide
still
receivers
throws for 4,000 yards. Yates, right. Is that a world? You're the projections guy. Is that a world we could even contemplate with the Bucs?
He'd have to hit 45 passing touchdowns.
Right.
Which is possible.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if Evans is like 12 touchdowns, Antonio Brown is like 9, and maybe Godwin is the leader in yards or something like that by just a couple notches. But I mean, it's not unthinkable that 3 of these guys could have double-digit touchdowns with Brady.
Maybe. All right. Let's take a moment here and a break from our show to tell you about a sponsor, and that is, of course, Canna Dips. From deep in the hills of Humboldt County, California, comes the innovative dip heroes of Canna Dips CBD, the original nicotine and tobacco-free dip alternative with CBD. Guys, we're super excited to share with you a product that is an absolute game changer. It is a tobacco and nicotine-free dip alternative with CBD that tastes great and really works, utilizing cutting-edge absorption technology. Canna Dips CBD is offering the Fantasy Pros Nation exclusive offer. They are confident you will love the product. They're offering 20% off site-wide with code FP20. Again, that's FP20 is the code. So if you head to CannaDipsCBD.com and use the promo code FP20, you get 20% off anything at the store. And for a whole month of August, Canna Dips is sending one lucky winner to their football game of the year. They are giving away a $3,000 cash prize on their website for anyone to enter. No purchase necessary. Just go to CannaDipsCBD.com and click on the game of the year to enter your email, and boom, off to the races. You are in to win that $3,000 and pick a game anywhere you want to head to and make it happen. Or you just head to the casino, you know, your choice, whatever you want to do. These Canna Dips CBD pouches are all natural, spitless, and are great to use whenever and wherever. So no tobacco, no nicotine, full of flavor, experience designed for your enjoyment. Put down your old can and pick up a new one, a can of Canna Dips at CannaDipsCBD.com with promo code FP20 to find your favorite flavor in the California roll for 20% off once again and enter the Game of the Year contest before it ends August 31st. All right, Welsh, let's go to your second bold prediction of 2021.
So I've got a little bit of homerism in these, as you know, as you're going to have. Some people know I'm a 49ers fan, but it's not like I'm picking from the Jags or anything like that. And it's a team to have some excitement about around some offense. So there may be one or two 49ers in there, but it's not just homerism. My bold prediction, and I'm going to get one out of the way here. Number two is Raheem Mostert does not get hurt, which is a huge statement in general, and he doesn't lose out his fantasy value to Trey Sermon. And listen, I'm the 49er guy. I know, Joe, I know you are a loudly speaking Trey Sermon lover, and that's okay. Yes. Trey Sermon's going to be
Trey Sermon, all the Treys. Give me all
any
the Treys.
Trey Sermon right now has a top 70 ADP on Yahoo. Top 70, and we want to play the upside. Bogman and I do an episode that's called Ranks Analysis, and we actually this year use Fantasy Pros as a backdrop to it, because Fantasy Pros, I think, has always been one of the best backdrops when you're building some of your consensus ideas around. So we'll take some of the sites you draft on, and we can even compare it against, you know, like ECR and stuff like that, which I find useful. And the Trey Sermon one stands out, not just because, yeah, he's a great play on upside, but it's a complete forgetting of Raheem Mostert. He's an incredibly talented back. The thing that he has literally become like the Giancarlo Stanton of the NFL, if anyone pays attention to baseball, where he has massive talent if he can just stay healthy. Mostert had the ninth most fantasy points at running back from week 1 through 6 last year. He was averaging 17 points. That's a RB1, but then he wasn't on the field. This is one of the highest volume running teams. Yes, they like to use a cavalcade of running backs. I'm not sure we're going to go 3 deep this year. I really don't think we will. You've got one of the top speed guys in Raheem Mostert. He's going to also be your goal line back. I do think they're going to pass a bit more, but Raheem Mostert simply staying healthy turns a mid RB3 into a high RB2 on one of the highest volume running back or rushing teams in the NFL. Raheem Mostert, mid RB2, but really the bold prediction is he stays healthy. And that's a big one.
I think that you got I love you, Welsh, but I think that you got early a free sample of the can of dips on that one. I really do. I really do. I think it's
all Trey Sermon? But listen, Trey Sermon and Raheem Mostert, they can coexist.
Yes.
There are many backs that coexist. Me saying that Raheem Mostert is a top two running back for this year in fantasy is not an exit on Trey Sermon for fantasy value. There's
no, I understand.
It's incredible of even
you're
flex
saying,
value
no,
running backs that
there's
are coming
room,
from two
you're
teams.
Saying,
Trey Sermon can still do that, and he might be on the back half of the year, but I think Mostert is the number one fantasy back in San Francisco. He's an RB2, but I kind of think Trey Sermon could be a flex option as well. So you're the crazy one. You're taking
I didn't say crazy. I just said you're enjoying the can of dips, and it's lovely. And I think that it's excellent that it's a sponsor today. And Yates, let's see how much you've dipped in for your second one and see how you feel about your next bold prediction.
All right. So I just put out a continuation of our Kyle Y series, a breakdown of my projections here on the site just the other day about why Travis Etienne will be a top 15 running back in 2021.
Yeah.
And a large portion of it is because of his work in the receiving game. And a lot of people have come back to the table in fantasy football and they've talked about how James Robinson is still, you don't move on from a 1,000-yard rusher. It's a completely new regime. It's a new, completely new general manager, completely new coaching staff. And James Robinson, yes, he will still be involved. But to the point where people are saying that James Robinson is worth a top, I think in ADP recently, he was 24, RB24, RB23 in ADP. That's absurd. And Travis Etienne is going behind him. I don't see a world in which James Robinson outperforms Travis Etienne, because what Etienne brings is he's going to fill a very valuable role for this offense that they want, and that is speed in the horizontal aspect of the game. Urban Meyer has thrived with these types of players throughout his coaching career, and he wants to use Etienne in that fashion. I think that you could see some two running back sets here where you see James Robinson in the backfield, and then you see Travis Etienne motion out wide. And he's got the chemistry with his quarterback who he played with at Clemson. He's got the first round pick draft capital to his name. I think everything is pointing here for Travis Etienne to be an incredible value. Not just to mention that he's got incredible breakaway speed, that it doesn't take much for this guy to find the end zone for a 70-yard run. So Travis Etienne here, RB26, RB27 in ADP consensus right now, a screaming value. I'm saying that the projections have him at top 15. There's a world in which he finishes even higher than that.
And in every world I live in, I am reaching for him. I am being aggressive on him. Welsh and I, as soon as you said it, we both get the head nods.
I immediately
all around.
Love that. That's also another backfield. I'd say that multiple backs can coexist, and maybe
they
even
could.
more beneficial. Etienne is just so much more expansive in his game. Like, he can take over weeks in the passing game if they really do want to go that route. He can get his carries. I mean, it's not unheard of to think of he could be the poor man's Alvin Kamara, like, very early for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I got a question for you, Yates. Would you rather spend a first round late pick on Austin Eckler or a fourth round pick on Travis Etienne?
It depends on the running back that I'd be taking in that first round.
Well,
you know, if
for
like
you, I guess the name is Joe Mixon, but I'm just
right.
I have Austin
Eckler as a top 12 running back this year, so I think he's going to be really, really good. I mean, the value, if you're playing value game, then I'll take ETN because I don't have them separated by very much. But I do think that, you know, I'm not going to diss Austin Eckler here. Like, I have him as a top 12 running back. I think you can spend a first round pick, maybe a high second on him, but yeah, Joe Mixon, I would take over Austin Eckler, and then would love to get, you know, a Travis Etienne later on.
All right. Since we're talking about running backs, I'll use one of my next ones here on a running back. The number one running back in fantasy football at the end of the year is going to be Saquon Barkley. Ooh. You like that? How's that for a bold prediction? We're all terrified right now, and rightfully so. But there's something that I just can't shake, and I don't have any shares yet of Saquon Barkley. Actually, no, that's not true. I have one share. He fell to me, I think, ninth overall, and I just said, well, that's just stupid. I'm going to do this. The talent, we all know, is there already. What's holding us back is the concerns about how good he can be out of the gate. But let's not forget, we're also adding another game at the end. So you shouldn't be playing in that last week. You're nuts if you do, if you're playing playoffs then. But you also have to understand, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be slow with some of the running backs too. So although he's working his way from an injury, although this is 2 years in a row where everything's been very disappointing, let's not forget the last premium running back who had a major knee blowout, some guy named Adrian Peterson, who came back and had a pretty darn good season the following year. And I just want to point that out there. He is that good. He is that stunning of a talent. He isn't an offense that really he is going to have to carry, because Daniel Jones cannot carry it. This wide receiving core, I'm not sure can carry it either. And I think we're in a position here, although CMC, Dalvin Cook right now are at the top two, if Saquon hadn't been hurt last year, had a really good season, we'd be talking right about Saquon being that number two, number three overall pick, because last year at this time, he was our consensus number two behind McCaffrey. So bold prediction, we're going to put our fears aside, and Saquon Barkley, RB1 overall in fantasy. Am I crazy, Gates?
Yes. Here's the things that are working against Saquon to get to that RB1 spot, because, and this is assuming that like Christian McCaffrey is not going to miss time with an injury like that. With Saquon
or Dalvin Cook, let's not pretend like Dalvin Cook's been the picture of health in his career either.
Well, sure, but that's, you're not only just projecting then that Saquon's going to be the RB1, but then also that these other two guys are going to miss time with injury.
That's not
because
impossible.
I don't see a world in which Saquon finishes above those guys if all of them are healthy. Because, and here's the reasons why, volume. I don't think that Saquon is going to have the volume that he did when it was Eli Manning checking the ball down to him 120 freaking times or whatever it was. I don't think that that's going to be there, because you do have a very loaded receiving core around him. And then also, it is the injury. It's coming back from this injury for a player. And you mentioned Adrian Peterson. Peterson had a different running style than Saquon Barkley. Peterson was get downhill quick, and then punch you in the face. Saquon is planting that foot to be able to change direction. And so I just don't know it. That's what his game is predicated upon. So I don't know if he is, one, going to be coming back as quickly as we think that he is. And then two, is he going to actually trust that leg when he gets to the point where he's faced with a defender behind the line of scrimmage because the offensive line failed him, and now he has to plant his foot to be able to change direction and make a player miss in a phone booth, which he has done numerous times on his highlight reels. But does he trust his leg enough to be able to do that? So I think there's a couple things working against it here for Saquon Barkley. If you want to talk about him as a value, where his ADP is currently and where it's trending, then that's a conversation that I'll get on board with. But to say that he's going to be the RB1, again, it's a bold prediction. I get it. But
it's not lukewarm predictions.
I can't see the path for that to happen.
We want to drink bold, fresh tasting predictions, not lukewarm ones that have been left out in Yates's house for 4 days without power. Those aren't the predictions anybody wants to drink. And yeah, you are absolutely bringing some fantastic logic, but the great thing about fantasy football is sometimes it does end up being talent.
I know.
And all of our great logic, to our frustration as analysts, gets crumpled up and lit on fire and thrown out the window.
Is there a more illogical sport in fantasy than football?
I mean, like, legit.
There is nothing more logical.
That's why it's so fun.
Can I ask you a quick hypothetical?
Sure.
Because I know we're focusing on bold predictions, but I was having this conversation. If Kareem Hunt were not in Cleveland, how high would Nick Chubb go for you? Just assume he.
You're asking
just
assume for me.
Kareem, yeah, assume
I've already
Kareem
got him
Hunt
at five. So
didn't
you're
take away
the wrong
Chubb.
Guy.
But that's kind of what I'm getting at because I had said to somebody, I think Chubb would be my number three. It might have been Bogman. I would go number three with Nick Chubb if there was no Kareem Hunt taking away, and like if he weren't there, I wonder if your bold prediction would be Nick Chubb is the number
you know
one
what?
Fantasy.
It
back.
Would be something I would. Chubb was guy I was considering for this. Who would be a fun one that actually could do it? And I couldn't say Chubb because Hunt is still there. And because the passing work goes away. Whereas Barkley, the passing work still goes to him. That's where I come back to at the end of the day. And he is so explosive. We've seen him get a ball in the outside area and just run it 80 yards because he's that dude. That guy can do that. So he might not have to have the extraordinary volume. And the guys at the top are not exactly as safe. And we've had this conversation a lot, Yates. I feel like everyone's looking at the first round this year going, oh my God, I'm terrified of everybody. And last year, everybody said, what a deep first round. This is the most amazing first round. I feel great about everybody.
I'll take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This will be great.
Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, everything's going to work out. It's all sunshine and roses. All right. Everything is not always sunshine and roses. How's this for a transition? And if a medical emergency arises, you're going to need Air Medcare Network. That's right. Air Medcare Network is the best defense against the unexpected. And if you need to be prepared for the unthinkable, Air Medcare Network is there for you. If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use offer code FANTASYPROS no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That's airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Third bold prediction. That is to you, Lord Welsh.
Antonio Gibson finishes as a top 10 running back this year and outperforms Austin Eckler. That is going to be my bold prediction. Also, by the way, if you watch the first preseason game, you don't hate that it was all Antonio Gibson in the first series. Just carry, 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 catch, catch, catch. Just do all of that. That's exactly what you want to see. Sure, there's no McKissick, but McKissick is not necessarily just a one-trick pony, though they've used him in the offense. We could see it in a different way. But what is to say that Fitzmagic is going to and want to continue on the dump passes to McKissick? Where Antonio Gibson is established, they want to use him more. Weeks 10 through 16 of last year, did not include week 17 because it didn't matter for our fantasy seasons, was 10th in points per game at running back. I did a little fun math game, which is, you know, totally working in my favor here, but I took, but you know how we're going to do it. But I took the games last year where he rushed for double digits. And this is just rushing, by the way. And this is, you know, this will be the big argument everyone's going to make on Antonio Gibson is where's the volume. So I took the games he rushed double digits. Then I times it times his yards per carry. We got about 69 yards per game rushing based on double digit carries and yards per carry. So let's assume you give a slight increase because his carries go up a little bit more this year and being used. Let's just say we go from 69 yards to 75 over 17 games. We're over 1,200 yards for Antonio Gibson. And that's on the rushing side. He was targeted over 40 times in the passing game. Let's say there's a tiny increase there. Even if there's not, it doesn't matter. You might be closing in on 1,500 total yards. He's a big gadget weapon. They want to use him more. He's going to be a big, big piece of this offense. I had to work myself into it because it's tough, and especially because you could argue that Antonio Gibson might be an Austin Eckler light, except obviously Eckler is catching more balls. I think Antonio Gibson takes that next big step. He's an RB1, and he's more valuable than Austin Eckler.
I like this. This is fun. Yates, how do you feel about Gibson?
I'm going to chime in and say that I literally typed Antonio Gibson will be a top 10 running back this year and then deleted it because I wanted to get another take in here. So yes. I am in complete agreement here. And it's one of those ones it's one of the ones where you sit down in projections and you go, man, this is a massive leap of faith with the volume totals and with like it's just one of those ones that defies all logic. It's like the Robert Tonyan catch rate and touchdown rate from last year. It's like Antonio Gibson having 11 rushing touchdowns on 170 rush attempts last year and 4.7 yards per carry is crazy. And I don't know if I can comfortably project that again, but he can easily do it and surpass it again this year with, because again, he was just learning, still learning the running back position last year. So everything that we saw last night in the preseason game, yeah, sign me up for it.
Yeah, and I would just point out, too, when I did my fun little dumb experiment of taking the carries of double digits and then timesing them times his average rush, or average yards per rush, they're not all great carries. He has a 19-carry game. He has two 20-carry games. But I also counted a 10-carry game in against Carolina in the second end of the season.
Is that the Carolina game? Because I remember that one you're talking about.
A 13-carry game, an 11-carry game. So, if you do the math, I didn't end up doing this part of the math. But, what was that probably average? 14, 15 carries per game. I gave him a slight increase of yard. I gave him six more yards per game rushing, six more yards rushing based off of the math I did, and over 17 it was 1200 yards. You got to be a buyer on Antonio Gibson. It's not even that he's like a value, but like I will take him in the second round and he's going into the third, so top 10.
Welsh has been on the baseball show here, Fantasy Pros. It's the first time I think on the football podcast version.
Yep.
I've never seen anybody in all the shows I've done here in the last 6 months get Yates to delete something that he had because he was so thrilled that someone else said it, and now he's going to go back to the well. I assume you have more ready to go, so let's get to another third one here, Yates, for you, and then maybe in the next next read, or maybe you have a little Canada dip or something like that in the meantime before you think of another one.
Let's rewind to June 2020, and where I said that Jonnu Smith will be a top three tight end. And it was so close to happening, and then the Titans decided to screw it up. New England's not going to screw it up this year. I will back off of the top three. I will say top five. Jonnu Smith will be a top five tight end this year. Just based on what we saw last night, I mean, he is constantly in motion. They're using him the way that he's supposed to be utilized. Going to be able to use him after the catch. And we've talked about it, too, with Cam Newton. Even though it is a low passing volume offense, there's still a path for Jonnu Smith to return value on where he's being drafted. But then what happens if we do go to Mac Jones and we do see them start to lean and become a little bit more pass happy? Then that opens up the target share and the overall target totals for Jonnu Smith. So tight end 14 in ADP, I don't understand it. And so I will stretch this here and say top five tight end. He was in that range for a good portion of 2020. I think it happens at the end of the season and throughout the entire year this year.
Stay on brand, baby. And look,
can I ask who gets knocked out? I'm sorry, Joe.
No, I mean,
who gets knocked out of that top five if the four of them?
Yeah, so I would think that you've got the top three solidified, assuming that George Kittle stays healthy, right? So it's Kelce, Kittle, Waller. And then after that, it's kind of a mosh pit, right? You've got like maybe TJ Hawkinson. If the offense doesn't look as good, even as I'm projecting, like then TJ Hawkinson could be the one that's knocked out of there. I think you have Mark Andrews in that territory. If Kyle Pitts doesn't adjust as quickly to the NFL game, he might not end up as a top five tight end, even though the opportunity is there. So those would be the ones that I would watch there.
Who's the most likely, do you think? Because Hawkinson was the one I was thinking. Like, I
think it's Hawkinson. I think it's Hawkinson that's not going to make it because either of injury, like he's already struggling with an injury, or just based on the overall state of the offense. He might get the target totals, he might get the volume, but the touchdown totals I don't think are going
to
be there.
It's so nice to have someone to back you up on Jonnu Smith, isn't it? Like, you're not on an island anymore this year on this. Like, you seriously. And I agreed when I was a guest on the show all the time last year. It's like, yeah, man, Jonnu's great. And then it started to look real good. Unfortunately, injuries. And when he came back, he was not healthy. It was clear he was not the same player. He was just trying to get back on the field. If that dude stays healthy, he is a man child. He's going to be very exciting to watch. All right, let's get to, you know what? Let's stick with the Patriots since we're on this route. I had to throw a fun one in there. So I also watched the game last night, and this is not the first time I've said this, and I said I was going to say it on this show, and I'm a man of my word. Mac Jones, the starter, week one for the New England Patriots. Welsh has heard me say this too.
You said it on our show. We actually just cited you. We just cited you on the football podcast, on the ITL Fantasy Football podcast that dropped today as a mock draft. We literally cited you saying that, and I was like, I don't know if Joe still feels so good about that one, but you're still in.
Yeah, I'm still in. Let's go. Right. It's just bold predictions. Once again, I watched Cam Newton last night. Unimpressed. It was a beautiful pass.
Did you
pass
also watch Mac Jones last night?
Yeah, I did watch Mac Jones last night. And I watched a guy drop a beautiful pass in the end zone. Did you watch that,
my friend? That was a beautiful throw.
That was a beautiful pass. That is a throw Cam Newton is not making, okay? I also watched him get a lot of time in a first preseason game. And I also saw a moment, too, in that game where...
Because he's the backup.
Yeah, well, he's also not the only backup, and you want to protect this new young asset, but I think it was good to let him get... He didn't look like he was out of sorts. A lot of times you get the rookie quarterback starting to work series, even against the second team guys, the third team guys, where they look out of sorts. The game's too fast. Things are working in a weird fashion. He looked very confident out there. Yeah, it wasn't perfect, but you saw moments where you went, well, that's interesting. That's a hell of a pass that should have been caught. There was another pass, too, that should have been a first down. They should have challenged it. They would have gotten it. But instead, Bill Belichick said, no, challenge the kid. Who cares? It's preseason. Let's see what he does in a third down situation. That's the kind of test they're going to put this guy through. I was thoroughly unimpressed by Cam Newton. I'm not saying Mac Jones is glorious by any stretch, but I'm saying is the future is now. In the NFL, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, that quarterback is going to play. He is not Trey Lance. He's not Justin Fields. He is absolutely not Trevor Lawrence. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that Mac Jones is going to take over. And if he does, keep in mind, your projectability for Damian Harris changes dramatically because Damian Harris all of a sudden becomes a very respectable RB2, which all of a sudden those touchdowns now come into play potentially. So the ripple effect of Mac Jones is very good for Harris. And as far as Jonnu Smith, I don't care who's playing quarterback. Jonnu Smith's going to be good regardless because that's the only thing Cam Newton can do is throw to a tight end. All right, let's move on to another one here. Actually, you know what? Before we do, let's sneak in another sponsor because we love our sponsors here, of course. They make our Fantasy Pros world go round. So I want to tell everybody about Dynasty Owner. You've heard me talk about it on the show before. If you're looking for a new challenge this year, Dynasty Owner is it. It's a new fantasy platform that unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with the real NFL salaries, adding a strategy of running an NFL franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues are forming now. That's DynastyOwner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky. And if you're like me and you think you may be better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their rosters using real NFL salaries within the salary cap, and that adds an entirely new level of strategy to the game you love. Go to DynastyOwner.com and validate your fantasy football skills today. Welsh, number 4 on your bold predictions for 2021.
Homer time. Last Homer one. True Homerism here. And this is actually one of my personally feel strong, like, you know, when we make these predictions, I think we all probably have like ones we feel better about. This is just one of my more favorite because it's more out of left field. Like my last one, I'm going to say it's a big bold one, but it's a big name. This is not my bold prediction. Debo Samuel, 90 catches, 1200 yards, 5+ touchdowns this year for the San Francisco 49ers, which is a big one. He is one of the best route runners already in the NFL. Those numbers, by the way, would put him, I think he's currently 36 at wide receiver on Fantasy Pros when you're looking at, I don't remember if it was ranks or ADP. So he's like bottom on the wide receiver 3. Those numbers would put him in the tier 4 and as a wide receiver 2. So I didn't go the route of being like, he's going to be higher than this guy or this guy. Actually, I was going to do T. Higgins just to like rile you up a little bit. I was going to go Debo Samuel's more valuable than T. Higgins. If you would have taken the averages from 2020, Debo would have been sitting about 88 catches on his 11.8 yards per reception, and he would have gone over 1,000 yards if you space that out over 17 games. I do believe the 49ers are going to have more of a pass game involved. I know everybody is banking on Brandon Ayuk to be the guy who is maybe a better route runner, to be honest with you, and more explosive. But I am of the ilk that I kind of think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start for a bit, and he's going to be there. And I think they're going to lean on Debo. Debo is going to play more of that like middle line, even cross route type of stuff where, you know, you're going to get 10 and out for Kittle, and Ayuk is going to stretch the field. I don't think Garoppolo is going to be a heavy, heavy deep ball guy. Now, if Trey Lance comes in, that could change the game. Debo's ability to separate and get yards after the catch is top notch. I think, and Garoppolo loves him. I think we're going to get back to heavy, heavy Debo Samuel. There's a lot of play action in that offense. I do think they're going to run, but it's going to be more pass than ever. Even if Trey Lance comes in, Debo is going to establish himself healthy over the season. Always going to sight on route runners. He's a playmaker. I'd also throw out, if I wanted to give myself a caveat, they love to get him the ball on the ground as well. He's almost a guarantee for 100 yards rushing. I think that I went light on the touchdowns, so maybe I could have just built in the fantasy points of 90 catches, 1,200 yards, and 5 touchdowns. I think it's going to be in that realm. He will be a wide receiver too, and everybody's spinning on Ayuk. I think Debo Samuel is a massive, massive deal this year.
I know you've been a Deebo guy from day one, and I am too. I've just been frustrated by the injuries, and hopefully we can stay healthy and get to that plateau. The health is what's holding him back, not the talent necessarily.
You know, I mean, and unfortunately with the 49ers, there's a lot of talent that's being held back by talent, by injury. It's George Kittle. Mm-hmm. It's
Raheem and by Mostert. Quarterback play. Jimmy Garoppolo has his
and quarterback play. You're exactly mm-hmm. right. And if Jimmy Garoppolo stays in that offense early on, it's because he's being effective. And how is he going to be effective? Not throwing the ball 30 or 40 yards downfield. It's going to be shorter dink and dunk. Kittle's going to open up the offense. And I liken like really, really great route running to a baseball being a high contact hitter. Like if you're mm-hmm. a high contact hitter, you're going to find yourself and you find your way into your power where really, really good route running young receivers just by getting separation are going to find their way into making plays. And guess what? Not only is there great route running and separation, he's magnificent after the catch. One of the best in the NFL. So Deebo Samuel, wide receiver 2.
All right, Yates, let's go with your fourth bold prediction of 2021.
Let's go with former teammates at Alabama. Let's go. Tua Tagovailoa will outperform from a fantasy perspective Jalen Hurts in 2021. Whoa. Now, we got Jalen Hurts here all the way up at QB12 in ADP. We've got Tua Tagovailoa all the way down at QB22. Guys, let's not move on from Tua Tagovailoa here. We have got to see what he can do here in the NFL because last year we need to throw it out. Chan Gailey did not do this guy any favors. He was coming back from an injury. The receiving core that he had at different points throughout the season was, I mean, he had Lynn Bowden Jr. as his top receiver one game. Like, we need to throw out the sample size from last year. And everything that we are hearing from camp is that Tua Tagovailoa is lighting it up. This is the quarterback that we saw at Alabama, the quarterback that led to the whole Tank for Tua movement, right? Mm-hmm. We're just a few years removed from him being the crown jewel of that 2020 NFL draft class. Before Joe Burrow emerged and Tua Tagovailoa had the injury. So I think that we need to be a little bit more patient here with Tua before we move on, because I think that he is an incredible passer and he does have some mobility to his game. He can move and pick up that cheap rushing yardage. So Tua Tagovailoa here, Jalen Hurts on the other side of it. Man, I just don't like the receiving core. I think that Tua is an incredibly better passer than Jalen Hurts. I think that NFL defenses are going to be keying in and trying to stop Jalen Hurts from scrambling, which is how he picked up that rushing yardage last year. I think there's a lot here to be going against Jalen Hurts and then a lot on the upswing for Tua Tagovailoa. So let's stretch it out here. Let's go bold. Tua Tagovailoa will outperform Jalen Hurts in 2021.
I've been moving Tua up my Superflex ranks for the last few weeks very slowly. It's kind of getting more and more comfortable. If he is physically healthy enough to avoid pass rush, because he's going to have to with that offensive line, that's going to go a long way to making this prediction work. Because if he can get out there in space a little bit, avoid pressure here and there, stand in there, make a throw. Last year, you saw he wasn't really confident in doing that. It was not where he was at physically. If he's there physically, you watch that in the physically. If he's there physically, you watch that in the preseason. That
interesting
is
also, both guys attached to those Deshaun Watson rumors. Both Jalen Hurts right. and Tua Tagovailoa.
Everybody wants to replace there. Him with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, just it's funny that both of those guys were out there. Would you feel the same if Tua was traded for Deshaun Watson and Tua went over to Houston?
No, I would move. I love, and a part that I didn't include in that whole argument is that Tua has a much better receiving core than what he had right. last year, right? Jalen Waddle is just going to do wonders for Tua and his development. And then, you know, you do have the injury concerns with Will Fuller. Like, he hasn't practiced since the first day of training camp. Devontae Parker was on the PUP at one point this offseason. So there's concerns there that he might not have the receiving core that he needs, but with these other guys that they've got as options on the depth chart, we're hearing good things about Matt Collins. Albert Wilson's showing out in camp as well. So I think there's enough there. I just want to illustrate that and point that out to illustrate, like, let's mm-hmm. not move on from Tua just yet. He's QB22 in ADP.
Will Fuller will be awesome for 3 games. He'll be amazing for Tua right. for 3 games.
I'm hoping more because I'm getting a lot of late shares. Everyone's freaking out because that one game, like one game, who cares? I mean, yeah, he'll miss more. He's Will Fuller, but still, I'm going to take him at a discount. My wide receiver 5 in some teams. It's kind of nuts how far he drops. All right, for me, another bold prediction. Jerry Jeudy, one of my favorites. Right now, he's wide receiver 32 in half PPR. Jerry Jeudy finishes as a top 20 wide receiver this year. And I'd like to be bolder than that, but I can't because Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, whoever might be throwing the football, is probably going to stop him from being more. But I think if you can go more than 10 spots year over year from where you are ranked in ADP, that's pretty bold. That's a big jump, moving 10 to 12 spots. And I think Jeudy can do that. We talked about the route running. We talked about the drops. We get the drops. Also some uncatchable balls in there as well. And I think that if I'm hoping, at least, that Teddy Bridgewater is the guy. And when he is, then at least we get a little bit more consistency. And I also think Courtland Sutton being back is very good, too. You know, I don't care how talented you are. When you are a rookie wide receiver and you're the only guy out there, it becomes very difficult, okay? You're just fighting against a lot of things. When the defense has to account for another good wide receiver on the other side, things change dramatically in terms of where double coverage is going to be in the defense. So, therefore, just Courtland Sutton being healthy and on the field again is a huge win. If we improve some quarterback play, Jerry Jeudy can make that jump. I'm a big fan. He's one of my guys I always keep taking as a wide receiver 3 because I believe he's going to finish as a wide receiver 2 and maybe even a top 21. That's my bold prediction. All right, we all got one more left in the chamber. So, my liege, take it away. What is your final bold prediction? And remember, everybody, these are fun. These are fun. They're based in what we hope will happen, but we're trying to have a good time here.
Wait a minute, Joe. Wait. No, fantasy is fun. You're telling me these shouldn't be taken completely serious? You're telling me
that... No, just yours. All of yours. Mine are fun.
Okay. Remember the guy that got so mad when you predicted that Derrick Henry would be the top rusher last year? And he's like, that's not even bold. Like, he did it last year. And you're like, I know. It's crazy to do it again. And you were 100% right.
The funny part was only two people in the last 20 years had done it back to back. It was Edgerrin James, who's now in the Hall of Fame, and Adrian Peterson. That's it. You think it's like a stat that happens all the time. It don't happen all the time.
I hope I just ruined your last one, because if you don't Derrick Henry's going to lead.
Going to be disappointed in you.
I get out on top. I'm like Costanza. I leave on a high note, always.
Here's my last one, and it's just like the biggest marker. And I laid the groundwork earlier when jumping on what Kyle said, where it's like, you know, remember, like, it doesn't mean they have to be these ranks. Sometimes we jump on this. This one just stood out to me, especially when you're building a case for bold prediction. And the specific stat, I actually saw it on FTN. Someone had noted just this one specific thing that I took, that without Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley was averaging 11 targets per game. So 11 targets per game without Julio Jones. So my bold prediction is Calvin Ridley is the number one fantasy receiver this season. Mm. So what I did was you take those 11 targets, and then I took his 6, which is a poorish, and I think is going to improve, but I just stuck with it, took his poorish 62% catch rate. 62%. He's going to be better than that. But 62% on the 11 targets over 17 games got me to about 115 catches. I then took his awesome yards per catch, which was right around 15. We're talking those numbers would be 1,700 yards for Calvin Ridley. 11 targets at a 62% catch rate on his catches at 15 yards per catch. We're over 1,700 yards and 100 catches. Last season, he was the top scoring wide receiver weeks 1 through 6.
That's right.
The first 6 weeks, he was the number one receiver. Then weeks 14 through 17, the final 4, he was wide receiver number 3. The floor is there. He's being built in. This isn't like the boldest prediction of bold predictions. It's kind of like your Saquon one, but I'm having him jump over quite a few monsters. I think it's tough to have him jump over Hopkins, jump over Davante Adams, but he's done it without Julio. It's a pass-heavy offense. It does not have a workhorse running back in there. Ridley is fantastic. And if you just... I didn't even build more upside, by the way. I just want you to understand in what I just did. I didn't like give him extra stuff. I just said, here's what he did last year in targets, here's his catch rate, and here's his yards per catch. I just added those together over 17, and you get astronomical numbers. So then start thinking of next level movement. 17 weeks is going to make some gaudy looking numbers. 1,700 yards sounds gaudy.
Right.
But it's possible. And he's going to be one of the top touchdown guys. Calvin Ridley, numero uno wide receiver in 2021. My bold prediction.
Your numero uno bold prediction.
These guys are both tight end 7 and tight end 8 in ECR. Don't get it. Don't understand it whatsoever. Noah Fant and Dallas Goedert will finish outside the top 12 tight ends.
Ooh, you're vicious, Yates.
With Noah Fant, the argument is very similar to what you said with Jerry Jeudy, right? It's that you've got a very loaded offense. The quarterback play is not fantastic. And it's not like either of these quarterbacks are going to throw for a ton of touchdowns. So when we can't find the target totals to be able to go Noah Fant's way with Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Albert Okwuegbunam, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams out of the backfield, we can't find that target total to be able to allocate to Noah Fant. Well, then he's got to do it on the back of great touchdown production. Well, if we have Teddy Bridgewater, who threw for 19 passing touchdowns last year, if he is the starter, it's not like he's going to completely elevate this offense. So I just don't see a path here for Noah Fant to finish as a top 12 tight end without one of these other receiving options going down with an injury. And I don't want to bake that into my projections or bold predictions here. So, and then Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz is still there. And I don't have a ton of faith in Jalen Hurts. So where is the target total going to come from, or the touchdown totals here for Dallas Goedert to jump up into the top 12? And he's being drafted there. So both Noah Fant and Dallas Goedert, I don't understand why they're still in the top 10. Move them out of the top 12 here. Both of them will finish outside that range in 2021.
And I like this. Boy, you know, life's really hardened you. 4 days living outside in the woods with no power.
Survival. You're survivaling out there. Yeah.
Salty today, Wes. He's ready to go. I love this. You know what? And the false sense of security that Dallas Goedert is somehow a really nice, safe level target. I mean, Dallas Goedert, if I'm not mistaken, it's like in that same range where you could probably draft Jalen Waddle. I'd rather have Jalen Waddle on my roster personally. Like,
here's the thing. Like, sorry. Both of these guys are incredibly talented options.
Oh, sure.
Incredibly talented players. But it's all about looking at their current situation, not from what we saw last year, looking at their current situation and saying, I can't see the path for that to happen.
Yeah, I completely.
And it's easy, too, when you build in Jonnu at that spot. Like, Jonnu's just going to be the target. It's kind of a similar argument. Bogman's had it with this guy. I know other people are on it, but like Adam Trautman. You know, like Trautman's one of those guys that now he's starting to slip into like tight end one, but he wasn't going before there. And maybe it's not the biggest talent in the world, but look at what's there. There's no blocks, you know, and there's massive target share that's out there. So you're just building in, when you build in some of these late tight ends, you can go, which actually brings in this interesting thought. We don't have to go there, but that type of tight end model versus the reach for tight ends on the top end, like they clash, because I think there's this class of tight end in the middle that's left out and probably deservedly so. And Noah Fant, Goddard are those guys. It's Ricky Bobby. It's your first or last, like either take and reach for one of the tight ends or sit back and pick up a Jonnu or an Adam Trautman who aren't even going at tight end one.
Free tight ends. That's my new Twitter handle. No late round QB. Free tight ends. You can find me there.
I feel like the wrong clientele might come to that Twitter handle, Joe.
You think? I don't know. All of a sudden, I just opened the account. I got 5,000 followers already.
Wow. All right.
Wow. And I'm verified too. That's
Joe,
the
you
one
can make $2,000 to $3,000 really easy.
I bet we can. All right. Last one here from me. We had a different QB one last few years. We had Mahomes. We had Lamar Jackson. And, you know, last year we had Josh Allen. This year we're going to have a new one, and his name is Dak Prescott. I don't want Dak Prescott anywhere near the preseason, okay? Put him in bubble wrap and open him up in week one. That's what you're going to do. And when you open him up in week one, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns are within his grasp. It's not insane. 2 years ago, he almost had 5,000 yards passing, and people don't even want to talk about it. I don't know why. It's a pretty tremendous stat. It's not something you see all the time. We're getting a little spoiled. You see, you know, Peyton got there. You see Tom Brady. You see Patrick Mahomes. All that. Yeah, okay. It's really hard to do. Dak was right there. He didn't hit the number, but he came real close. This offense is loaded. That defense still not very good. Dak Prescott could absolutely finish as the number one quarterback overall. I love Kyler Murray. He's got a shot at it too, but something tells me it's going to be Dak, and it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch. And again, just like Saquon, we're all worried now, and then we'll be sitting back here on Thanksgiving go, oh man, I really wish I had not been afraid to draft Dak Prescott or Saquon Barkley. I think we might be in that position when all is said and done. And you know, Yates, I've been on this show for bold predictions a few years in a row. And I thought it would be fun, because you and I were on together last year, to you and I be accountability buddies, to look back on what we said last year and how we did with these bold predictions.
What injured guys did you pick last year?
Well, look, let me tell you, they're not all great, but some are actually pretty good. We did okay, actually. Let's see. Yates, Calvin Ridley will outscore Amari Cooper. Very good there, Yates. Look at you. Cam Newton returns to form and finishes a top seven QB.
In my defense, he was a top seven quarterback throughout the first 3 weeks or 4 weeks until he caught COVID. So
in the preseason,
Miles Sanders will outscore Derrick Henry in PPR formats.
Yeah, I don't know what I was smoking with that one.
No, CBD had all kinds of stuff there. Henry Ruggs will outscore Keenan Allen. Also,
that one was rough, but that was also with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback.
I'm not
logic.
Taking shots at you. This is fun.
I know.
Bad
I'm
ones
just.
Too.
I
don't worry. I'm going to send Yates back into the woods. That's what he's getting all upset at me. It's okay. Derrick Henry will lead the league in rushing back-to-back. Now, the year before, I was on the show saying Derrick Henry's going to lead the league in rushing, and everybody laughed at me. They didn't laugh the second year. In PPR formats, Kareem Hunt will finish as an RB1 along with Nick Chubb and outscore Nick Chubb. Now, he didn't outscore Nick Chubb last year, did he, in PPR?
I don't think he did.
But they both finished as RB1s, and that was the bold prediction. Cam Newton will lead the Patriots in rushing touchdowns and rushing yards. That did not happen, right? Like, I'm trying to remember.
Rushing touchdowns.
Yes, but not rushing yards.
I don't think it's quite possible, actually.
And I'm not sure, like,
can somebody check on that? I don't even know if he could have led it,
but there's no win on Cam Newton doing anything for the Patriots.
Now, this one I know was just to tweak tags because I could. That Devontae Adams was going to get hurt again and he was going to disappoint people in fantasy football. Clearly, that did not happen, and Devontae Adams was great. But yeah, so we all take our lumps. And speaking of which, go tweet at Tags because he's been having a rough couple weeks, and all the support y'all have given him is just fantastic. You really appreciate it. He's our brother. We love him. We've all been texting with him. He's having a real rough go, but hopefully getting, again, better on the mend. But go tweet him. Just, you know, say, hey, man, hope you're doing okay. All that positive vibe is a good thing here. We've been trying to do that as well. So we just appreciate everybody who asks, who keeps following up on all that stuff. And, you know, we're trying real hard to pick up any of the slack because he is a huge shadow here with the work he's been doing at Fantasy Pros for many, many years. And we're going to keep crushing it because that's what we do. In the words of Dick Vermeil, we're going to rally around Kyle Yates. And we're going to play good football. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to keep doing that here at Fantasy Pros. And hopefully sooner than later, we'll get our other quarterback here back as well. And Welsh, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. Again, you can follow him on the Twitter machine at IsItTheWelsh. Join the ITL Army over on Patreon. They are hilarious. I mean, the secret shows, the things you guys do. We have two of my favorite human beings on the planet. And I'm just so grateful you were able to pop on today onto the show. Tell everybody what's going on within this league right now.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on. Patreon.com/ITL Army. We've got ranks. Bogman does all the stuff if you want to check out his specifically. We've built a community. It's just a lot of stuff. I wouldn't even try to go through all the craziness, but if you dig us, you want to support or you want to check it out, we are very long standing in the program we've created over 4 years, patreon.com/ITL Army, and check out the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. A couple a week, we do live mock drafts, which are insane. Joe has been on them. We do clips and it's just craziness. And we've got some draft forum episodes coming up, and most helpful episode I think we've done this offseason. We do every single year. Fantasy Pros has an involvement in it. It is our ranks analysis. And I would implore people to go check that out because Bogman and I went and took a look at each site that you guys draft on, found the anomalies, and we're able to even use the backdrop of Fantasy Pros as far as ECR and ADP to check it out. So if someone wants to divert 1 hour of their time away from Fantasy Pros podcast, they can go check that out. But yes, both of you, thank you for having me on, Joe. I love you.
It's good to see you again.
And Kyle, I had a blast getting to hang with you for a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Same.
Making new friends. That's what we're doing. Bold predictions, fun fantasy
football. Let's have a play date. We'll have a play date.
Play date at Kyle's. I'll bring the CBD.
I've got power. So
I got the candidate. Do it. Go get Canadips at CanadipsCBD.com. Use the promo code FP20. Get your 20% off. Also, don't forget about Air Medcare Network. When a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network's there for you. AirMedcareNetwork.com/FantasyPros. Also, Dynasty Owner, challenge yourself with real NFL salaries and the salary cap. Go to DynastyOwner.com to validate your football skills today. And do not go into a draft without our draft kit. FantasyPros.com/draft kit, Draft Wizard, My Playbook, the premium subscription, sleepers, bust, cheat sheets, everything you need, including access to our incredible community that we've got going over at Fantasy Pros. And go to FantasyPros.com/offers. Again, this is huge. FantasyPros.com/offers. Go get a 10% deposit down on Underdog, FanDuel, or DK, and then claim your 6 free months of our Hall of Fame package. That's a $65 value for just $10. You're nuts if you don't do this and get that My Playbook working for you. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Kyle Yates and the Lord of the Manor, the Welsh, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy duty rotisserie or rust resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.